Hello and welcome to Reddy and Newman's Daily Podcast, your go-to place for common questions about immigration to the United States. Reddy and Newman is a team of experienced business immigration attorneys who handle a host of visa categories and complex immigration cases. This podcast will provide an insight into our daily free conference calls hosted by our attorneys, as well as discussions on hot immigration topics. Please note that information provided is not to be construed as legal advice for your specific situation and does not constitute an engagement with Reddy and Newman PC or establish an attorney-client relationship. For specific advice on your situation, please contact an attorney. Here's your host.
Hi, this is Rahul Reddy. The time is about 11:30, September 5th, 2019. Reddy and Newman PC does conduct conference calls every day. For those people who are listening to this in the podcast and other media, please check the details at rnlawgroup.com. For those people who are in the conference call, if you want to ask any question, please press star 6 to ask question. Please press star 6 to ask question. That's the only way to ask questions is by pressing star 6. 9425, you have a question for us.
Hello, Rahul. Good afternoon. My question is regarding H-1B amendment, like whether it really needs to be filed or like what constitutes a material change. So my company is filing a new amendment for a new client location, and both existing client and the new client, they fall under the same METSTAT area, MSA. Mm-hmm. And just apart from that, everything else is different, like the client name, county, job title, duties, and salary. So in this scenario, do we need to file an H-1B amendment?
The question is the duties are different. When the duties are different, you have to evaluate whether it is a significant changes are there in the job duties. Now, for me, moving from SAP to .NET or .NET to SAP, it's still in the same software field. But of course, if you move to mechanical engineering to software, you need to. However, it is up to you and company to determine whether or not if there is any significant changes or any material changes in there. So it's up, if the company determines it is a material change and you're saying that the job duties are different, then, you know, lawyer doesn't have much option. If the employer and employee feels that they are the same job duties, it's still the same it's still software-related field, not civil engineering field, then you don't need to file an amendment. But if you, it's up to the company's determination.
Okay, even though the county is different, but still you can
file. No, county has different, MSA is the same thing. Even the state can be different if it's the same MSA.
Okay. And as a follow-up, like, does H-4 also need to be amended as well?
No. If it's just an amendment, you absolutely don't need it. If it's an extension, you may need to file it, but it's just an amendment, you don't need it. 3523, you have a question for me.
Hi, Rahul.
Yes. Go ahead.
Hi, Rahul. This is Ashmita. So my employer actually filed H-1. During the time of filing, I was working in a same one of the clients with one of the location. And after I got RFE, during that time, they moved me to another location, but with the same client. So now when the client is giving the client letter, they're giving the new location's address. They're not giving the old location where
same,
I filed.
Is it in the same MSA or a different MSA location?
It's actually a different one.
Yeah, you're going to get the denial.
Okay. So we need to
what they will say is that since your job is not in the same MSA, you didn't have an LCA in this different location. Since you didn't have an approval from the Labor Department, we can't give you the approval, and the LSA should have been approved at the time of filing the H-1.
There is no way that they can file LCA now?
They can file LCA, but what the USCIS is going to deny, when they deny, they're going to make a reason saying that the LCA was not there at the time of filing. So I would like you to prepare for the denial so that you are aware of what's going on. The next caller is 5082. You have a question for us.
Hi, Rahul. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. Hi. I'm in this country for. I had a question on DS-160 form for overstay. The background is that I've been in this country for 13 years and with the same employer had multiple extensions, but my recent H1 extension filed as well as H4 extension filed back in April, went into RFE, eventually got denied end of July, and my employer informed me around August 7th, and we all left, including my kid and son, and my wife and kid, within 2 weeks. At the time of leaving, the H4 status for their application was still case received. I know it's delinked and they're not doing it at the same time, but their status was received still. Eventually what happened was I got another H1 approved through another employer.
Did
I went to Mexico.
Did the consular processing?
Yes, I did the consular processing. I got stamped and came back into the country. Now my family is planning to go for H4 stamping in India at Chennai. The question is like, should I answer yes or no for the question that have you ever been unlawfully present or overstayed?
Answer yes to the question.
Even though they're
because, here is the problem there. They are within the 180 days of unlawful presence. And for these 2-3 months, since the time your H1B was denied, which is July, I don't see a reason why we have to say no there. She always maintained the status. The problem is they may say that, no, she didn't maintain the status. You told the lie and they'll punish her for it. I would rather say yes, I would say that I didn't maintain the status and they'll be fine for it because it's within 180 days.
Okay, so there should not be any issue with the 2 weeks of the date of I-94? My question was
not from the date of I-94. It is from the date of denial or the date of I-94, whichever is later. When did your I-94 expire?
So from the date of denial, it was just 2 weeks. So you're saying we should mention yes and then mention it is just 2 weeks that we overstayed.
That's right. That's right, sir.
Even though their case was just, even today also their case was still received status. It's not
I still will
yet.
Answer that I violated the status, sir. That's my opinion. 6372, you have a question for us.
Yeah, hi, this is Kapil Gupta. So currently I am on H1B and I'm going to convert into the H4. But my current H1 is going to expire on 30th September and during this time I will complete 6 years. So since I have only 25 days left, I have still not filed H4 yet. So today I am planning to file. So suppose if within these 25 days I won't get receipt on my hand, would I still be able to stay in U.S.?
You don't have to get the receipt notice as long as the USCIS has received your 539 application. You don't have a problem. You can stay in this country. Absolutely not a problem.
Okay, and currently my H1 extension is also in process, but my company has requested till 30th September 2019, and this was applied 3 months back, so it's still in the same status, no action is taken. So in that case, since I'm going to exhaust 6 years on 30th September, so 240 days rule is applicable for me or not?
No, 240 day rule is not applicable. If you're changing the status from H1 to H4, your 240 day rule is not applicable. I have with
please go ahead.
You said that your company applied for your H1B extension from June of 2019 to September 30th of 2019. Okay.
Yes.
Now you want to apply for the H4 right now. The 240 day rule doesn't come into play at all.
Okay. Suppose if I don't apply for H4 at all. So, would I still be able to continue beyond 6 years because my petition is still pending with USCIS?
You cannot.
Okay.
You cannot. The reason why you cannot is the petition only requested until September 30th. They didn't request it afterwards. So, stay until after September 30th.
Okay. So, I have last question. Since I am going to submit H4, so I am going to include as my document all previous I-797, all passports, I-94.
I'm not going to discuss with you how to file a H4 right now in this conference call. There are a couple of things that you may want to be careful. Is your wife I-140 is approved or not?
No, it is not approved. It's company has initiated the process.
Country, why are they staying in this country for such long time and ignoring completely that you should file a labor certification I-140? You may want to discuss with a lawyer along with your wife and strategize your life. This is not the way you should be planning your life, if I were you.
Her I-140 is being initiated from her company, so it's...
I know, but problem. What about you? Yeah. You didn't initiate it from past 6 years. And
yeah, so
if you, when you move to H4 EAD, you need to plan these things properly. Don't just think that somebody is going to help you out. This happens mostly with the people who come from India, with the big five consulting companies. They just put everything in the hands of their company and then, you know, and then pray God that they are going to take care of you, which they don't.
Right.
So you've been in 6 years and then you haven't done anything and you're sticking with the same company. There's something wrong. So I would recommend that you and your wife make an appointment with a senior lawyer and try to strategize your plannings, what you're doing. And you can, once you get a H4 EAD, you can file a I-140 while you're on H4 EAD. And don't try to work with the same companies that didn't file for the I-140 for a long period of time. 3188, you have a question for me.
Hi, my name is Dinesh, and I have an I-140 approved. And I'm my current company is applying for a new H-1B, and mm-hmm. I moved, and the new H-1B is also approved. The old H-1B, my I-94 is expired on August of 23rd, so the new mm-hmm. H-1 is approved now. So mm-hmm. my question is, I have applied my son's H-4 along with mine, so mm-hmm. his stuff, I have got a receipt for his receipt number, but I haven't got it approved yet. So if I go mm-hmm. to India, can I also take my son for stamping?
Absolutely, no problem, sir. You can.
So even though his H-4 is not approved?
Even though his H-4 is pending, yeah, you can go and get the stamping there, sir. Not a problem.
Thank you. I have just one more follow-up question on that. So the company A, which has got, I have my I-140 approved from my company A, and now my mm-hmm. company B is applied for my another H-1B, so... Can I, using my company A's I-140, can I apply for an H-4 EAD for my spouse?
Let me ask you this. When was the I-140 approved?
I-140 was approved like in 2016.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely, you can. That I-140 now belongs to you, so you can use that. Okay?
So even though I changed my company, I can still apply.
Even though you change, even though the company withdraws for I-140 approval, it won't matter because the withdrawal happened after 6 months. So you're good, absolutely no problem. And to confirm what I said to you about your son, sir, yes, for H-4, you don't need a H-4 approval if you're going to India. Absolutely. I am one of the example. I came from India in H-4. I never got my H-4 approval. And the same rule stands for your son right now, after 26 years. Okay? 4858, you have a question for me.
Yes, sir. Currently, I'm on F-1 visa, and my F-1 visa is going to end this November. But I have stem OPT mm-hmm. till January. So I would like to join mm-hmm. a new college. So do I need to extend my F-1 visa or go out of the country to get stamping?
No, sir.
No.
You don't need to go out of the country. You just visa is, it doesn't signify your stay in this country. It is your I-94 in your maintenance of status. So if you're in the service system and you have the I-20 and you're going to the college, you don't need the visa validity.
Okay. So I can go ahead and apply to new college from January.
Absolutely. 5047. You have a question for me.
Yeah. Hey, Rahul. This is Quinn. My wife's case is within the Batch 2 litigation H4 EAD lawsuit. Mm-hmm. We still didn't get mm-hmm. any approval or any status change yet. I just mm-hmm. want to check in mm-hmm. what our next step for this batch litigation, and since it's already approaching
to which group of when did
batch
you file
batch 2 litigation? Which part, July 5th.
I'm sorry, which date you said?
July.
I can't hear you. Which date?
July 5th.
Okay, you are the only person left out on it. We served the notice to them on July 8th, so the time counts from July 8th. We are expecting an approval within 3 days. If not, they have to respond to the court. I would be very surprised if they would not approve in the next 3 days.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much for that update. So we did send a notification to the agency, the government agency, and we are expecting response within 3 days, right?
Yeah, because July 5th, we filed the litigation. but on evening, but we serve them on July 8th, so it will take a little bit time for them to respond.
Yeah, understood that, yes.
Yeah.
Cool. So when did we submit the request for them?
We submit the request on July 8th.
Okay, July 8th. Okay, but I mean, you just recently pushed the request again, right? Like checking what's going on for this case.
We didn't. They are supposed to contact us. Either they are supposed to contact us, or they're supposed to contact us to withdraw the case, or they're supposed to file a response to the court. You're the only person left out in that group right now. So I'm not expecting them to respond to the court why they are delaying it. But they
hopefully they can get something back this week.
Yeah. By Monday, we should be for sure getting it. Otherwise, they have to respond to the court.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Yep.
Okay. Thank you. 1278, you have a question for us.
Hi, Rahul. Here is the case. My wife got H1 approved, but she got as a consulate notified Hyderabad. She got approved for 1 year. And there is a, I didn't get the approval notice yet. But this is the case. So what would be the
consequence? Why would your wife get a H1 approval? She's here in this country or in India?
I didn't get you, sir. What did you say?
She's in the country or outside the country?
She's in the country, sir.
What visa she was in? Why did she get the consular processing?
She's on F1 visa status right now. She's on CPT.
Day one CPT. You need to contact the lawyer immediately, sir, because there are reasons why they give the consular processing. And day one CPTs are not considered to be legal according to USCIS and according to us also. So you need to contact her. There are a lot of articles written on our in-law group and Immigration Girl, and also on the YouTube, we have a lot of things on day one CPTs. So what's the status of those? You may want to listen to those things and have you and your wife consult a lawyer on the day one CPT.
Okay.
8014, you have a question for us.
Hey, hi, Rahul. This is Raven Kumar. Actually, this is regarding my fiancé. Actually, her employer applied for H-1B in 2018, and we got RFE in 2018 October, and we sent the documents since January till now. It's like 248 days. It's still in process. What should
we do? Why did not you convert into premium processing?
I don't know whether to apply a premium or not at this moment, so I just want clarity. So it's adjustable or not?
There is no clarity required. I mean, there are many other options, but the cheapest option is paying the $1,400.
Okay. So is that suggestible, right? It doesn't mean...
What do you mean suggestible? Yes, it is. And so coming to this conference call, doing all those things, you just pay them USCIS $1,400. They're adjudicating the cases in 15 days. Very rarely we see that they're down. So that's a better way of using your time.
Okay. And one more thing, even if it is some reject or approval and she's planning to come to January as a F1, she's applying for colleges and she was coming for F1.
What visa you status you are in?
Right now I am in F1. I'm in OPT.
OPT. I would, if the H1 is rejected, she should not apply for the F1 visa. I would recommend to wait for the H4 visa and then come in. Did she file with a company with an in-house project?
It's an in-house project.
I would not recommend to file a premium processing. Withdraw that H1B and then let her come on H4 visa and the time comes in. And these companies, there are a lot of companies, what they are doing is that all they are doing is making money and filing the H-1Bs. There is no project, nothing there. And they're just opening an office, filing, making $200,000, $300,000, and then disappearing. I wouldn't suggest that your wife should come with that company at all, even if the H-1B is approved, because she's not going to get the stamping. I wouldn't recommend to go to that H-1B route, sir. 1298, you have a question for us.
Good morning, Rahul. My name is Nikhil. I'm a full-time employee for a large bank here, and I'm on a H-1B with a valid visa until December 1st, 2020, and I-94 10 days post that date. My employer is filing for a perm labor this month. Can I travel to India while the perm labor is in process? Because I'm planning to travel in November.
Absolutely not a problem. Now, I'm not telling that in general stamping is not a problem, but because your perm is pending, it is not a problem.
I already have a valid visa, sir. Just so I have the visa stamp already.
So you have,
so just wondering if there's any travel restrictions.
No,
yeah.
Sir. No travel restriction whatsoever at all because you filed the form. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Thank you. 3841. You have a question for us.
Hi, Rahul. This is Chansey. My current H-1B transfer with my current employer got denied recently. Like, they got the physical copy last week. So,
last week, what did they get?
H-1B denial copy, physical copy.
Is that a H-1B? New quota, transfer, extension, amendment? Thank you. So, let me ask you this question. The previous company's H-1B I-94, is it already expired?
It's there till 2021.
Okay, go ahead with your question, ma'am.
Yeah, so they have requested for withdrawal, my old employer petition.
That's fine. That's fine.
Saying. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So can I stay legally? How long I can stay legally? And my current employer is saying they are going to refile maybe probably tomorrow, Friday. To a new location,
if they refile the case, you can stay legally, but I would recommend that they file in premium processing, ma'am. Okay?
Current system be transferred, they did in premium.
It got denied not because of premium processing. It would have got denied anyway. So I would still have them file a premium processing again right now. There is something called a 60-day grace period. Since your I-94 is expiring later, not right now, even though your company has withdrawn it, we have successfully argued that the 60-day grace period is fine, and then you should be able to avail that 60-day grace period, and your company can file the H-1B again. But I don't want you to take much risks here. I want you to make sure that you get the premium processing approved. And if something bad happens, I would rather want to move on because two denials is too many risks, and you don't want to go for the third denial. But for now, you should get the things in premium process. 3231, you have a question for us.
Hi, Rahul. I just want to get some info on H-4 litigations that we filed on August 2nd. Have you heard of any approvals from that?
On August 2nd. We have a conference call that we are conducting every other day for it, but I can tell you on August 2nd how many of them, because it's tough for us to keep on counting every day. As of today, the cases that we filed in California, out of 38, 19 of them got approved. We didn't check in the past 2-3 days.
Okay, how about Nebraska?
Okay. No, I mean, this is nothing to do with Nebraska. This California, there are two cases that we filed, one in California, one in Texas. I don't know, what's your wife's name? I can tell you where we filed it.
It's Alekia.
We filed in California for her.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And the book 50,
so
we didn't
should
check
just
the, Yeah, we didn't check in the past 3-4 days, though.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. The next caller is 1017.
Hey, Rahul. Thanks for taking my call. So can you hear me well?
Yes, I can.
Okay, my question is, I have a question on the birth certificate that we need for filing adjustment of status. So I do have a birth certificate which is handwritten, and it doesn't have my mom's name there. It's only my dad's name there, and it's completely handwritten. So that's why I got the affidavit from my dad, so in 2012. So do you think that will be good enough for my birth certificate requirement?
No. If the birth certificate is handwritten, does it have a stamp of the village or whatever it is?
Yeah, it is from the Gram Panchayat. It does have a stamp. It does have a signature.
That's enough. That's enough.
And it doesn't have. Okay, and it doesn't have my mom's name listed. It does say only son of my father's name. That's it. And it's completely handwritten.
I would get two. Handwritten is nothing wrong. Nothing wrong.
Okay.
If I would get two affidavits, independent affidavits. Okay. Not your father's, somebody else, family friends.
Okay.
And also, I would also try to get other documents in support of it, maybe Aadhaar card, maybe ration card. You can
Wait,
let me finish. You can look into, I do not have birth certificate. Just type it, I do not have birth certificate R and log group in Google. There's an article we have written. There are all alternative things. Keep them together. I would not file any of them with the adjustment of status. But when and if there is an RFP, then I will file, I will produce all those things, what I have listed in that article.
Okay.
Okay. 7505, you have a question.
Hey, Rahul, thanks for taking my question. So my company is filing my fourth H-1B extension in a couple of months, before 6 months. And my question is, with the
is
timeline
it before
matter,
6 months or within 6 months?
No, the 6 months starts after a couple of months. So they're filing during that time. And the question is, would it matter if I file my wife's EAD, H4EAD together? They're going to do it in premium.
What?
So
why are they, they're filing within 6 months, is that right?
Yeah. And
not
they're going to do in premium. They're going to do in premium.
Yeah.
The question is,
I would attach the H4 plus EAD along with this one.
Because I've heard H4 is taking longer than H1.
They are not adjudicating the H4 and EADs together right now. But there's no loss in filing it. There's no loss
and,
in filing it. Because if you wait until your H1B approves, you're wasting some time.
Right. And we are planning to go to Canada like in February to see some relatives. So if my wife's H4 is not approved, can she still come with me for the stamping if mine is approved? My H1 is approved, but H4 is not approved.
She can go for stamping. She can go for stamping. Absolutely no problem. But are you going there for stamping? Or are you going there for visiting relatives?
Both, actually both.
I would recommend that she doesn't travel, but if she has to travel, if she goes there, gets a stamping, she comes back and she should file the EAD again. The problem with the EAD is also taking 7 to 8 months nowadays.
Okay.
7183, you have a question for us.
Yeah. Hey, Rahul. I'm on the H1B for past 6 years and I have approved I-140. I am with company A right now and my company A has filed an amendment for a location change and I got a new job and company B filed an H-1B transfer which got approved for next 3 years and after that, after 2 days, my H-1 amendment got approved from company A. So is it safe to join company, new company?
Absolutely. You can join company B. That's not a problem.
Okay. Okay, because the amendment I-94 is just 9 months valid.
Yeah, right. I would still go, you can join company B. You're absolutely, you can work for 3 years, absolutely no problem, sir.
Okay.
Thank you guys for coming to the conference call. The next conference call will be tomorrow. Sorry, we couldn't attend all the people. The time is over. You can make an appointment with me or any of my colleagues at rnlawgroup.com, or you can subscribe to RN Law Group News. And also Immigration Girl, who is my business partner. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you for listening to Reddy and Newman Daily Podcast. We sincerely hope that you've taken something valuable out of it. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. For more information or if you want to make an appointment, check out our websites, rnlawgroup.com and immigrationgirl.com. Have an awesome day.